Okay, for an opening passage, actually two passages this morning, let's turn over to Exodus 20, and we'll read verses 2 to 6 for the first passage. Exodus 20, verses 2 to 6. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And for the second passage, let's turn over to Acts chapter 15, and we'll read verses 12 through 21. Acts 15, beginning with verse 12. And all the multitude kept silence, and they listened to Paul and Barnabas, retelling what signs and wonders Yahweh had wrought among the Gentiles through them. And after they held their peace, Jacob answered, saying, Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has told how Yahweh first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After these things I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will build again the ruins of it, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek after Yahweh. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says Yahweh, who makes these things known from old. Therefore, my judgment is that we do not trouble them that from among the Gentiles turn to Yahweh, but that we write to them, that they abstain from the pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from what is strangled, and from blood. For Moses from generations of old has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. It is a great privilege that Almighty Yahweh has given us to know him and to know his Son. He has left us with a written record of his mighty acts in history, as well as with guidance on how we should live from day to day. These two opening passages point out something of great importance for all who would call themselves children of the Most High. It is so important, in fact, that as we read in Acts 15, the early apostolic congregation took great pains to emphasize it to the members of the organization at that time. Specifically, the minister strongly spoke out against the pollution of idolatry. In our day, it is not fashionable to speak about idolatry. In fact, in the way that our culture tends to blur the meaning and distinction of words, people often give meanings to words that minimize their original intent. Take, for instance, the use of the word idol. In our culture, it no longer seems to refer to a statue or stone that is given honor and reverence by an ignorant people, or something with any kind of negative connotation, but is used instead in supposedly benign ways, as in referring to a beloved hero, for example. For another example, over the last year, it has been a highlight of our culture to consider who would be the next quote-unquote American idol, and young people frequently refer to a sports figure or other celebrity as being my idol. Can we use these terms, brethren? Can we think in these terms and simply pass them off as something that's harmless? Words mean things, brothers and sisters, and we must never allow ourselves the luxury of becoming so absorbed in the popular culture as to begin to accept this way of thinking. Words mean things. Are we allowed to have an idol? The answer is clear in the sacred scriptures.